Well, we're back with you again today to talk about the wonderful love of God and to tell you about the wonderful things of Jesus. Reading from the book of Jude, the first chapter, the third verse. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, doth not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam, for reward, and perished in the gainsayer of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees, whose fruits withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars in whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. We read from the book of Jude, and we find such wonderful things in the writings of Jude. We find here that God tells us that there are among the people of God false people. There are those that are not true believers, but rather people that Satan has put there for the purpose of corrupting the church. The Bible tells us that every plant that the Heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. I'm persuaded to believe that we're living in the day and in the hour when God is beginning to root up the tares. You know, Jesus gave a parable one time saying that a sower went forth to sow. And he spoke of how that this sower sowed good seed. And then he spoke of how that the good man slept. And then there came forth another sower, and he also sowed seed, but that these seed were bad seed. And then he spoke of this parable when he began to interpret it to the disciples. He said that that man that sowed the evil seed or the corrupt seed was Satan. He was the enemy of God. And he spoke of the time when God would send forth the reapers and when God would cut down the harvest. And when God cut down the harvest, that he would gather together into bundles all of these tares, first of all. Then he would burn these tares, and then he would gather the wheat into the garners. You know, we've seen what appears to be a great revival sweeping the world. A great revival, and I can say that to what I understand of God, there has been a great move of God in the earth. But you know, we overlook one thing, and that is a lot of this great sweeping revival, or what has appeared to be revival, has been nothing more than God allowing the harvest to be brought in, that is in the sense of cutting down the tares first and binding them into bundles. Many denominational bundles are nothing but tares. There are many people that are gathered together in a unit and in a form of worship. They are nothing but tares. But God promised to do that first. A lot of people are building great empires out of monetary value. These also are tares. But Jesus said this would happen and said it would be so close it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. But he promised following this great, great revival that appeared to be revival, he promised a true revival, whereas God himself would send forth the true reapers and they would gather the true harvest, and when they gathered it together, God would take it into the garners or into his own barns, and God would keep it as meat for the master's use. So then we see that we must be real careful. We must be able to differentiate between the two, and we must be able to tell what God is doing and what Satan is doing. Because if it's going to be so close that it would deceive the very elect, if possible, then that means, beloved friend, that we are going to have to follow the instructions of Jesus, and that is watch and pray the way that he commanded us to watch and pray. You know, Jesus said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I believe that what Jesus meant was that the flesh is weak to the things of the natural. You know, man is flesh, and the Bible speaks of the creature being made subject to vanity. Therefore, because this outer being is subjected to the things of this world, or being subject to vanity, therefore he has a tendency to love this world and the things of this present world, rather than loving God. You know, God hasn't robbed the creature of the things of this world. It is not God's desire to rob the creature of the present world, nor the things of the present world. You know, God wants us to have the present world. God wants us to have the things of the present world. God wants us to have his act of creation as our own inheritance. But, beloved, the one thing that we fail to see is that everything at this time is under a curse. Everything in the world is under a curse. And this thing that is under the curse, if we touch it, then we become partakers of iniquity. If we love the present world in its present condition, as it is under the curse, then we forfeit our right to the world in the act of creation when God made it holy and pure. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that we could believe in him, that we could be redeemed, and that the world itself could be saved. He sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, and that God himself might save his creation by bringing it back to that perfect condition that it was in when God made Adam and Eve and placed them there in the garden. When it says God so loved the world, it means that God so loved the world when God created it as it was in the days of the garden. In the time when he created Adam and Eve, when everything was so pure, and everything was so wonderful, and Adam and Eve was pure, and there in the garden they had the desire of their heart. They had everything that they could want, and God so loved the world. God so loved the act of creation that he himself had brought into existence. See, God so loved it that when God saw the awfulness of sin, and God saw the evil as it overtook Adam and Eve, and as God looked upon the world after that Satan had taken the world into this great web of unrighteousness, God was so grieved that he purposed in his heart to send forth the Son of God to die at Calvary, to send forth the blood of the atonement, to redeem, to change, to cleanse, to purify, to restore to the great garden condition that we refer to as the great millennium of God. And so then, God has looked down upon the world through the blood of Jesus Christ, having redeemed it, so loving it that he might restore it to that great wonderful age of the garden that we call the 1,000 years millennium reign with God. We have a right to it. Those that reject God do not have a right to it. But God does tell us this, that the world in its present condition, with all of the awfulness of sin, and the world in its present condition, with the ways of evil that men practice, that God hath granted an allotted period of time, he calls grace, to people who are the descendants of Esau. And that the world at this present time belongs to Esau. That we are pilgrims and we are strangers and we're only passing through this era and we're headed for Canaan and we're headed for another great wonderful world and that we must pay our way through and our conduct must be such as would please God and that we must be a light to our generation and we must walk upright before God and we must do the things that please God and we must not stake our claims upon this world or upon this life. We must not do that for our inheritances in heaven. The Bible tells us to lay up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal and where moth doesn't corrupt. For it tells us that wherever our treasures are, there our heart will be also. We should not be fascinated by the things of this world. You know, I've said this before, and I'd like to say it right here at this moment, that the world is like a great web. Satan, he spins a great web. And it's like the dewdrops of the morning when they fall upon the web and the sunlight hits the web. It sparkles so bright and so brilliant. And you know, to the youth, it really is dazzling in their sight. It's so brilliant with its beauty and its radiance. But the very moment that you lay hands upon it, you find out that you are fastened to the world. You cannot be partakers of the world without being fastened to the system of the world. There is no way, beloved friend. You lay hold on the things of the world and you're going to be tied to the system of the world. God intends for us to have the world. That is to say, the way that God created it in the beginning. God intends for us to have the beauty of the world in the beautiful streams that ripple by, the beautiful trees and the singing of the birds. God intends for us to have the beautiful stars and the moon and the sun. God intends for us to have all the radiance of life and its abundance filled up and overflowing. God, he tells us in his word, through the mouth of Jesus Christ, I've come that you may have life and that you might have it more abundant, which means filled up and overflowing. John says, I would above all things, beloved, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. But he tells us here that the keynote of prosperity in this world, when it comes to godliness, is soul prosperity. That all of the blessings of the Christians hinge upon one thing, and that is soul prosperity. That we must be in harmony with God. He tells us that whatever that man doeth shall prosper, and that if we delight ourselves in the things of God or the laws of God, God will make us to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed us with the heritage of Jacob. But we must delight ourselves in the laws of God and in the things of God. Therefore, there's one thing that we must remember. As the world is, according to its system, we must not have it. But we must take everything that God gives us. First, we must be sure it is the will of God for us to have it. Next, we must understand the will of God in our life. The Bible said, being not ignorant, but understanding the will of God. We must get the love of the world out of us and have the love of God in us For the Bible said, if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. We must get the love of the world out and get the love of God in. Then when we get the love of God in, we will have our affection on things above. We will have our conversation in heaven, and then God can give us all of the things of this world for use, enjoyment, whatever it might be, but our hearts will never be tied to it. We, our spiritual inner being, will never be caught by the web of the system, but we will enjoy the act of creation the way that God intended for us to have it. But I'll tell you one thing, if you follow the tree of knowledge, if you follow the system of this world, you will train to follow after this world, you will conform to the image of this world, and you will find your spiritual being on the inside being imprisoned by the powers of this world, and that Satan is the prince of the powers of the air, which means the ruler over the powers that are in the air. Or that is to say that Satan himself is the god of this world and the ruler over the electronic forces of nature. He is the spirit that is in the air, as we say, the ruler over the powers, the atomic powers of the elements that's going to cause destruction in this world. We must overcome that power, that satanic power that hath control of our bodies, which are formed from the particles of the earth, or the dust of the earth. If Satan is the prince of the powers of the air, if he is the ruler over the demon powers that are in the air, which are the fallen angels, or if he is the ruler over the atomic matter, being the prince of this world, then there are the intellectual powers of science. Paul said science, falsely so called, and the intellectual abilities. He controls matter by his mind, that is to say, mind over matter in the sense of intellectual reasoning. Now then, if Satan had the power over these particles that's in the air, the electronic particles or the electrical powers that's in the air, if we ourselves are a composition of the dust, if we ourselves are made of the dust and made of the atomic particles, that means that as long as we are carnal, as long as we are natural, then we are bound, naturally speaking, to the gravitational powers of Mother Nature. Not only that, but we are bound by the powers of Satan and his superpower of intellectual reasoning, or that is, he has power through our five human senses and feelings and passions. Satan controls the human being. He has power over us, and the only way to escape that is to fast and pray and seek God and master this body. We must master this outer man. We must do it for Christ's sake. If we want this body as an inheritance from God forever, then we must leave the beastly level of life. We must be elevated to the God level. We must reach up into the heavenlies. We must make contact with God, and we must master this outer man that we might take on the mind of Christ, supersede the powers of Satan and the mind of Satan, get beyond the intellectual powers of darkness, and have enough understanding and enough faith and enough spiritual power to be able to overcome Satan and take control of this body to change it from this beastly form in its fallen condition into the image of the sons of God. The Bible said, to as many as believed, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believed on his name. Beloved friend, it doesn't sound too interesting when we think about forsaking the things of this world, because we are relative to the things of this world through desire. But I'll tell you one thing, it sounds real interesting when we consider the fact that all human beings die when they follow after the things of the world. But in following after the word of God and understanding how to conquer Satan, then you and I, we become the power of God made manifest in human form. We overcome the powers of death. We conquer the power of death, and we receive this body as a gift, an inheritance from God eternally and forever. We become preserved unto eternal life. Thus God seeks to free us from the world
yet to give us all of the things of creation when we ourselves relate to him from the inner being, that we might use these things yet love God. Whereas if we don't have God, we will love these things through the passions of our being. Let's therefore love God. Let's excel the passions in the body. Let's give glory to God, and let's use the body for the glory of God. And let's use the things of this world for the glory of God as we enjoy them. And brothers, sisters, we can have them forever. There's many things that I'd like to say to you today, but time doesn't permit us to do that because we don't have that much time to minister to you on the broadcast. Now then, I'd like to take just a few moments and pray for you. I hope the things that we have said today may inspire you. And we have many tapes here that they have made from the preaching that we have preached at different times. There are sermons that extensively speaking, will help to edify you concerning these things in a more edifying way. If you'd like to have them, all you have to do is write for those tapes. They're free. They don't cost you anything. But until we have a chance to see you again, then we'd like to take just a moment to pray before we tell you goodbye and ask God to bless you. If you'd like to pray with us, you that are looking, you that are hearing our voice, all you've got to do is just believe in God. Jesus said, when you pray, believe. That's the secret of it all. To pray is not enough. But when you pray, believe. Watch and pray, he said. But when you pray, believe. Doesn't matter where you're at, maybe in the convalescent homes, in the hospitals, wherever you're at, in your homes, you're looking in this direction, I want you to pray with me. And we're going to pray sincerely and ask God to do something for you. Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, as we call upon the name of your darling Son, Jesus, I ask by the power of the mighty anointing of God that I feel right now, I ask you to forgive our sins, Heavenly Father, and I ask you to hear our prayer. And I ask you to heal, Jesus. Oh, God of heaven, as I feel the quickening of your spirit, I ask you to heal. Father, heal in the name of Jesus. Those that are shut in, those that are in need, Father, heal today. Father, make well today. Father, forgive their sins today. Father, save souls today. Wherever they're at, save those people. Father, heal, forgive, and save in the wonderful name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Do something special today. Quicken these words that we have spoken to their hearts. Let them sink deep inside of their hearts. Oh, Lord, that they may receive this wonderful instruction from Christ. May it be so even now, Heavenly Father, as we feel your divine inspiration and spirit, and we'll be careful to praise thee and give thee the glory in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. And I felt God's wonderful presence. I felt his spirit, and I feel sure that those that hear and those that see will feel the presence of God. And as I've been here feeling his wonderful presence right now, I trust that you'll believe. And I'd like for you to write me a letter. When you have a chance, sit down and write us a letter. We don't have a chance to get acquainted with you unless you come to visit with us or we're in your area. Unless you do write us a letter. Write us a letter. Let us hear from you. Let us know how you feel. And if the Lord has done something for you, share it with us. We'll be praying for you, and until the next time that we have a chance to talk with you, we'll just say for now, may the Lord bless you. Bye for now.